All right, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see you here this morning. Today we'll be looking at ministry in the book of Acts and spiritual power, looking at both of them, how they both work together. Next week will be our last week for the book of Acts, and we'll be looking at mission in the book of Acts, and we'll also take a look at the Joy of the Gospel by Pope Francis and how the two really kind of correspond with each other. So I want to begin with some prayer as we get started. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So Lord, we thank you today for calling us to be a people who live the book of Acts in the year 2015, the 21st century. Help us to be a people, Lord, who glean the wisdom and the pattern of ministry and life amongst the early church. We ask for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the church of our time, upon the Archdiocese of Baltimore and upon St. Patrick's. Lord, may you pour out your gifts generously upon us, as you did in the early church, so that we may be able to be the people you call us to be able to influence our generation and give witness to your Son. And we thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you for what you will do. We know that this is your heart, this is your will, your plan for your people. We pray all this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Good. Any extra papers for some on the table there?
There you go.
Okay, so today we're going to be looking, using the outlines. Actually, we're going to go to the scripture quite a bit. There's a lot of fill in the blanks, so hang in there. Okay. Anything that is not, you can't get or like I missed that, it'll be on the website probably by Monday at the latest. Okay. So we're going to look today at ministry in the book of Acts and spiritual power. So just to do a little brief review, the whole purpose of the book of Acts, Luke is the author of the book of Acts. He also wrote the Gospel of Luke. So the Gospel, think of it as a two-part sequel. Okay, so the first part, the Gospel, where Luke wants us to see what the ministry of Jesus was all about. You know, and the book of Acts, he wants us to see what the ministry of Jesus is all about through his disciples. So you could read the Gospel of Luke and you say, without ever having to go to Acts, and you could say, that's what Jesus is like. That's what he did in his ministry. That's exactly what his church should be doing. That's Luke's whole purpose in writing Luke, Acts. And that's why I think the church in many ways has us hear and read and listen to the book of Acts every single day in the Easter season. So weekdays as well as Sundays. So Acts is written to describe the extraordinary power of God done through ordinary people. His disciples were ordinary people just like us, you know. And so some people have called the book of Acts the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so it's about life-changing encounters with the Holy Spirit that significantly alters people's destinies and lives. And so when you hear today what's going on, as we look at the spiritual gifts, particularly in the book of Acts, think of those gifts as like they're available to us today. Okay, and the reason why they're available to us today is because the Lord wants to do today in today's generation what he did back in the first century's generation. There's no difference. The Lord's heart hasn't changed over 2,000 years. And he's used us, he wants to use us as disciples to be the vessels of significantly altering the destinies of people in our generation. So with that in mind, let's go to the very first year outline here. We'll just be taking a look at this first. So the presence of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts is everywhere. Okay. It's like the Holy Spirit has put his authorship on almost every single page of the book of Acts. Some have called the book of Acts the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit are tools for the work of the ministry. So we're going to take a look at gifts of the Holy Spirit today. And I'd like to just give you a little disclaimer up front. This is like a really brief introduction to the spiritual gifts. You know, I do like seminars on the spiritual gifts. So it may raise more questions than will be answers today, but it's okay. There'll be seminars coming down the road that talk about spiritual gifts because they're so significant to us in the church today. Okay, so number one, power from on high is significantly manifested in spiritual gifts. And I'll define spiritual gifts in just a moment. Jesus said this, and I think this is probably the interpretive theme of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall be my witnesses. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So power, spiritual power, not economic power, not political power, not not natural resource power, but spiritual power that transforms lives from the inside out. That's the kind of power Jesus is giving to his disciples, and the Holy Spirit is the one who brings that. The Holy Spirit then gives spiritual gifts to operate in the church. The Holy Spirit is the dispenser, if you would, the administrator of the gifts of the Spirit. And the gifts are many. We're going to look at the book of Acts today in a few minutes, and we're going to look at, I think, like 17 gifts, but there's more gifts to that. I'm not even touching 1 Corinthians 12, which is about the gifts. Romans 12 is about the gifts, and there's other places. So, but I just wanted to, because we're studying the book of Acts, I just want to get a picture of how these gifts show up in the book of Acts. Spiritual gifts, then, are, I looked at the quote here from 1 Corinthians, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one to profit all. Another phrase for spiritual gifts is manifestation of the Spirit. Have you ever seen those shows on TV? And they're years ago where they said, what's behind curtain number one, curtain number two? Okay, remember that? Okay, well, think of when curtain number one was finally revealed and the curtain pulled away, you saw what was behind. That was a manifestation of what was behind curtain one. So a spiritual gift then is a manifestation of the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's a presence of the risen Christ. It's like the Lord has pulled back the curtain through a gift and said, hey, this is who I am. This is what I'm doing for you right now. Okay. So the spiritual gifts are given to give witness to the risen Christ. The word witness means firsthand encounter or firsthand experience. It's a powerful word that comes up in the book of Acts over and over again. But it's also in the Gospels. Constantly, when people encountered Jesus, they became the firsthand experience of telling that to others. The Easter narratives, the people that encountered the risen Christ, they became firsthand experiences of people's personal story or witness or testimony to Christ alive and risen, how he affected their life. Okay, number two, a servant's heart is the context for spiritual gifts to flourish and be fruitful for others. And if you've been hearing my homily this weekend, I'm talking about a servant's heart. So I want to capture just a little bit of that right here. But having a servant's heart, and there's a couple of dispositions that I think characterize a servant's heart. Remember, Jesus said, Mark 10, I've come not to be served, but to serve. Give my life away as a ransom for many. So he set the tempo or the model for servanthood, is that it's not what's in it for me, it's what I can give. Okay, all right. So to serve like Jesus means to be available versus busy. Okay. Means... And I have a line here, and you put in the word divine appointments. Think of interruptions as divine appointments, not as nuisances. The Lord, so in other words, an interruption in your schedule is the Holy Spirit trying to say, hey, I have something I'm going to do here. So it'll change, I don't know how you are, but, you know, I get interruptions, I get, you know, just start to get impatient and all that, you know. And said, so this is very challenging. Like, this is like saying, okay, you know, I'm interrupting your schedule because I have a divine appointment. There's something I'm going to do here. So be available. Be available to serve the Lord. In other words, I have a heart that's, Lord, use me. I'm not that smart. I don't have great grades. You know, I don't know a lot of stuff, but I'm available. That's all he wants, is availableness. I mean, he chose, you know, 12 apostles who were nothing to write home about. And they really weren't, you know. A lot of them were illiterate, fishermen of the day. They were good at their fisherman trade, you know, but that's basically it. But he used them to change the world. So, and it was because of the power of the Spirit that came upon them. Okay, secondly, be faithful versus pride. Faithfulness is like, Lord, you called me to be a disciple. You called me to give witness to you. Call me to be a servant. Therefore, I want to be that which you call me to be. So everything I have and everything about, I want to serve you with. That's faithfulness to the calling versus pride, which means that I think it's all about me. The word I have hint here is for the blank is humility. Humility says, Lord, everything I have, I place at your service. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest deceptions of our culture today is that we think everything we have is something that belongs to us. Not true. Everything we have is gift that belongs to him. So I remember a friend of mine said to me once, you know, he said to me, you're the coin in the Lord's pocket. He can spend you any way he wants. Okay. So I think that's really, you know, it creates that certain relationship between the Lord, gets things correct in right order. Like, you know, everything has been given so I can serve him. Okay, number three is be generous versus guarded. Generous with our time, our finances, our gifts, our abilities, our talents. And the phrase I have here is, when we do that, we become a blessing to others. The Lord has blessed us so we can be generous, so we can bless others. And as we bless others, he keeps blessing us. And we can give it back out. So, you know, Jesus said, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. So it comes in one hand, goes out the other. I said that to at St. Philip Neri. We had, when I first went there, I said, one of the things I want to do is find the poor in our area. Linthicum was kind of like a middle class to upper middle class area that was kind of snug. And I knew they were poor somewhere, and I was asking around, and nobody said, we don't know any poor in the area. So I knew somebody down at Church Crucifixion. I said, her name is Alma. And I said, Alma, I said, she has a heart for the poor, real gift to find the poor. I said, I want to hire you, put you on staff, because it's that important to me. You know, go find the poor. Well, she found them. Believe me, they were all around. And I said, you can have the poor box. Anything that comes in each week goes to your at your ministry. So the poor box had an inflow and an outflow of some $45,000 a year. So and that was not her salary in that. That was just simply what came in and what went out. And I said to her, because she said to me, you know, we get it in, she says, but it goes right out. I said, that's exactly what Jesus said. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. It comes in with your left hand, goes out with your right hand. I said, that's the way it should be. As we bless them, others, and we're blessed in turn. And Lord always blessed us. We never ran out. We always had more than enough to take care of. And the poor box wasn't just for poor in the area. It ended up becoming for our own people. That where we had, as many of you know, the economic downturn in 2008, 2009. A lot of our people there suffered at a job. So we used those resources to help take care of some of their needs at that time. I also used it to pay for annulments. You know, one of my big things was that Catholics need to go get annulments to put their marriage in right order, but I always felt the parish should be responsible for taking care of the money end of it, because to alleviate that burden. So that's one of the things we did, was we helped do a lot of reconciliations by offering to pay for the annulments with that. So that poor box money was used for a lot. But my point is that what came in went right out. That we were blessed, but we also blessed, and we kept on getting blessed. It's just the way God operates. You know? All right, number three, spiritual power is the basis of ministry in the book of Acts. As I mentioned in my homily this weekend, it's not about five-year plans. They're important, don't get me wrong. I think planning is very important. But at the end of the day, if the Holy Spirit doesn't show up, it doesn't work. The best of plans don't work. You know, and we need his presence, his power, his gifts. We need him operating in our life so that what are the plans, what are the natural abilities can then be, as it were, empowered and anointed by him to be able to be used in a way that we couldn't imagine. So the Lord takes what is natural, including five-year plans, and when they are anointed by him and have his power, then they can go a lot further than so we're going to look at spiritual gifts in the book of Acts, and there are many kinds of them. In the book of Acts, we're only going to get, like I said, a snapshot of them today. But I want you to see how the spiritual gifts are everywhere in the book of Acts, because they are manifestations of the Lord's power to be able to advance the Lord's kingdom and to serve and bless people. And we'll be talking a lot about spiritual gifts here in this parish community, including at the end, there's a real practical way I'll have or at least introduce you to a real practical way to begin discerning the spiritual gifts. So it's Book of Acts, chapter 2. Again, you're going to have to go back and forth here, filling in the blanks. And if you don't want to do that, again, they'll be on the website probably by tomorrow. Okay, Acts chapter 2. We won't read everything because of time. This is Pentecost Day. And if you look at verse 4, it says, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then down at verse 11, it says, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. What did they hear? They heard the 120 praising God for the works in Jesus. And speaking in tongues was a gift the Lord gave these 120 to be able to proclaim the marvelous works of the Lord. There's another spiritual gift called the gift of tongues in 1 Corinthians 12, which is for our personal, private, devotional life. That's another day, another time, we'll talk about that. But that's a help to our personal life. This was used to proclaim the wonderful works of the Lord. So fill in your blank here. It's tongues and praise. Gift of praise, the gift of tongues. Acts 2, verse 42. We're looking at spiritual gifts now. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. Two gifts here particularly appear. Apostles' doctrine, there's in that word phrase, apostles' doctrine, there's teaching. The apostles' teaching, which is a gift, and the office of apostle. If you heard the second reading today, this weekend, from Ephesians 4, it talks about apostles and prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, or fivefold offices that are gifts the Lord gives to his people. Now, I didn't really touch on this in the homily because I just didn't have time, but the purpose of the role of the pastor, for example, is to equip everyone else to do the work of ministry. Okay, so filling your blank here is teaching and apostle. As I mentioned last week, pastors aren't meant to do everything. They're meant to equip and train people to do the work of the ministry. Okay, Acts chapter 4, verse 36 through 37. This is Barnabas, called the son of encouragement, verse 36. And Joseph, who is also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyrus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So he used some of his resources. He sold it, took the money. He said, here, let the community use it. So generosity. Now, as generous as Barnabas was, Ananias and Sapphira in the next chapter 5 were not generous. And they were kind of deceiving the community. I don't have time to go through the whole thing here but here's what happened. Ananias and Sapphira, they took some of their resources and sold it, but they kept some back from the community for themselves. And they pretended, however, like they were given the whole thing. So it wasn't the fact that they kept some for themselves. That wasn't the issue. The issue was they told the community, we're given everything, when in fact they weren't given everything. And Peter picked up on it. And let's look at what Peter said. Let's see here. Verse 3, Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. The two gifts that come here are discernment. Peter discerned what was in Ananias' heart. And the other is called a word or words of knowledge, or word of knowledge. That means Peter got information that he didn't get through natural means. The Holy Spirit kind of gave them. It's almost like Peter read Ananias' email, okay? And he didn't have the password to the account. So there was a judgment placed upon Ananias and Sapphira because of that. All right. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. The early church ran across one of its first crises. Some of the Greeks called Hellenists had become Christians, and their widows were being neglected. So there was a complaint rising up from the parish community. Okay, so here's verse 1. Now, in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there was a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Caring for widows, by the way, was such an important thing in the early church. Later on, Paul addresses that to Timothy. It's one of the, I think, not just the Catholic Church, but all the Christian churches, neglected aspect of caring. But it's one of the things the Lord says that he's going to judge the church for, and he judged Israel for, because they didn't care for the widows. You know, he said, widows and orphans. He said, they didn't care for them. Verse 2, then 12 summoned the multitude of disciples and said, is it not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables? Now, serving tables didn't mean like wait on tables at the Waffle House or something. Okay. It meant administration. It meant caring for the material needs of the community. Right? The apostles came to realize they couldn't do everything, so they had So what they did was, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, who may appoint over this business. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So the right phrase here is administration. They looked at these guys and looked for gifts of administration and said, let's recognize this is not only a gift for the ministry of the community, let's entrust them to the work here. And we can spend our time doing what we're called to do, which is the ministry of prayer and the word. Okay. I wanted to say something else too, just a little footnote here, and that is that one of the reasons for the church in the book of Acts grew so quickly is because there was this distribution of ministry. It wasn't just residing in the hands of a couple people. They recognized the importance of discerning spiritual gifts, and they called that forth so that many people could enter into the work of service and ministry, and that caused the church to grow. All right. Acts chapter 6, verses 8. Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. So the first gift there to fill in is faith. Stephen, full of faith. Now, everybody's called to have faith, but Stephen had the kind of faith that is a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's found in actually 1 Corinthians 12. It's the faith that it just came so naturally and intuitively for him to believe that God was going to work here and move mountains. Okay, look at verse 10. They were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. This is the gift of wisdom. So it's faith and wisdom. Wisdom means to be able to explain the Lord's plans and what he's doing. Okay. Acts chapter 7, we're not going to read Acts chapter 7, I'll just explain it to you. It's Stephen going before the Sanhedrin and telling them about God's plan, and he ultimately is murdered for that. He's martyred. So it's the gift of martyrdom. It's the gift you get to use one time. Okay. But it is a gift of the Spirit. Okay. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit, yes. Gift of martyrdom. Right. Okay, let's go to chapter 8. Verses 4 through 8. The church is being persecuted and it begins to spread out. The Lord uses the persecution to be able to evangelize new territory, like the Samaritans. Philip is kind of like takes the lead on this, verse 4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes, with one accord, heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Okay, so this is the gift of evangelization. Now, we're all called to share our faith with others, but some of the body of Christ really have the gift of evangelization where it comes not only very easy and natural for them, there's great fruit that comes as a result of that. We're all called to share our faith, but Philip here has the gift of evangelization. So, all right, chapter Acts 11. Okay, verses 27 through 30. Okay, Acts 11, 27 through 30. And in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which has happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they did also and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So here's the office of prophet. This is going to be different from the gift of prophecy. This is an office, which means this person is recognized as being very consistent in understanding what God is doing and speaks to the community about that. Some dimensions of prophecy have a future dimension to it. But there's another gift of prophecy, which we'll see in just a minute, that is not that way. It's more for edification and comfort and so on. So office of prophet. Let's go to Acts 12. Yeah. Acts 12. Remember, Herod takes Peter, puts him in jail. Verse 5 now. It says here, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Ultimately, Peter would get delivered from jail. It would be an angel would come and set him free. But here's the connection, is that the angel was able to do his job because the church was doing their job. They were praying for Peter. So here's the gift of intercession. I'm sure not everybody in that community was praying with the same level of intensity, but there were some with the gift of intercession who were praying that way. So again, all of us are called to intercede and pray for others, but some of us have that gift of intercession where we spend a lot of time doing that and are very fruitful in doing that. Okay, Acts chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who has been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord, which probably meant they were having a Eucharistic liturgy, they fasted. The Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them." So here is the gift of prophecy again, giving direction to Barnabas and Saul. Prophecy is a gift that is meant to edify, which means to build up, to encourage people, to comfort them, to give a sense of direction. It's not so much futuristic predictions, although it has a dimension of that, but that's not the heart of it. The heart of it is to edify, comfort, and encourage or exhort people. Okay, Acts chapter 16. Verses 11 through 15. Lydia is converted to the Lord. We'll see her response, chapter 16, verse 11. "Therefore, sailing from Tros, we ran a straight course to Samarith, and the next day came to Nicopolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of the part of Macedonia, a colony, and we're staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. A certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Tyre, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul." So Paul was sharing with her the gospel of Jesus, and it said the Lord opened her heart to receive the gospel. This is the book of She Does, verse 15. "And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.' So she persuaded us." This is the gift of hospitality. She became a Christian, and the gift that rose up in her life at this point, the Acts book of Exodus, and hospitality then is not just simply coffee, tea, and donuts. That's helpful. Okay. It's creating a space where people are cared for, their needs are ministered to. So that's what was happening to these guys. She was caring for their needs, ministering to them. And she was using her household and her resources to make that happen. That's the gift of hospitality. Acts chapter 18. This is verse 24 through 26. This is the ministry of Apollos. "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and a mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man has been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John." So here is the gift of teaching. This is not the office of teacher that Ephesians 4 speaks about. It's just simply the gift of teaching. Obviously, it had effect upon people and changed their lives. And lastly, Acts 20, verse 28. This is Paul giving his last, a farewell address to the people, to the elders of Ephesus. Verse 28, he says, "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." This is the gift of pastoring. Pastoring, obviously we think of pastor as the ordained priest, and rightfully so, and there should be the gift of pastoring there. But lay people can pastor too. This is what small group leaders do. They should be doing. In the sense, they should have a gift of pastoring and caring for people and helping them grow in the Christian life. So pastoring can start with the pastor of the church, obviously, but can also be filtered down to different levels amongst the non-ordained, where they can shepherd people. For example, people I know we practiced a lot at Philip Murray was that people who were responsible for the RCIA class, for example, and caring for the people coming through, we look for gifts of pastoring, people with a shepherd's heart that can really help those folks not only learn the faith, but also just assimilate and apply that to their life. You know, so. Okay, so what are we saying here is that these are just a snapshot of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we find in the book of Acts. They were so crucial to making the book of Acts and the church in the book of Acts work well, I mean, and grow. If these gifts weren't present, the church couldn't operate. Couldn't operate. So, and the Second Vatican Council rediscovered, that the spiritual gifts were key to the church. But it was John Paul II in 1998, as he stood before 500,000 people in St. Peter's Square. It was a gathering of all the renewal movements there. And he said that the charismatic dimension of the church, charismatic meaning gifts, is constitutive. It's a word that means foundational to the sacramental dimension of church. In other words, he was saying that we're rediscovering the charismatic dimension of the church in our day. He says a work of providence as it's happening. So the church needs the charismatic dimension. It needs the sacramental dimension. Sacramental meaning hierarchy and sacraments and liturgy, canon law, things like that. The church needs the charisms, the gifts of the Spirit as well. He said they need them both. The church can't operate without both. So the catechism, if you check it out, like around 2003, I think it is, and 800 paragraphs there, talks about charisms being part of the church's life. So we'll talk more about that here at St. Patrick's, I think, because just like in the book of Acts, it made the church go, so the charisms, the spiritual gifts will make St. Patrick's go as well. Okay, number four, grace. The word grace is charis in Greek. It means gift, freely given. So a spiritual gift is grace. It's a gift freely given. Spiritual gifts are not merit badges. They're gifts given to us. You don't have to be like, you know, a 5-star holy person to get spiritual gifts. Okay. Spiritual gifts are given freely by the Lord. As we grow in our relationship with the Lord and grow in holiness, the spiritual gifts can operate more effectively through us. But the Lord gives his gifts to the babes that just come into who are just born into Christianity, and to those that have been there for years and years and years. Spiritual gifts aren't dependent on your holiness. However, the spiritual gifts can help us to want to grow in holiness. This is what St. John Chrysostom said, and then there is oodles and oodles of information that the church fathers spoke about charisms. Yes, he said this: whoever was baptized at once spoke in tongues, and not only in tongues, but many prophesied. Some performed many wonderful works. He was writing in the 5th century, I believe, of the church. And another early church father called Hilary said this: we've begun to have insight into the mysteries of faith. We're able to prophesy and to speak with wisdom. We become steadfast in hope and receive the gifts of healing. Okay. All right. So gifts of the Spirit have been with the church from the very beginning, not only in the scriptures, but they've been with the church in the first 8 centuries. They flourished like crazy, and for a lot of historical reasons began to die out after that. However, in our time, they've begun to be rediscovered. Number 5, and this is to kind of wrap it up here, and we'll open up for some questions. Ministry is understood to be the reliance on the power of the Holy Spirit, who uses supernatural and natural resources to advance the kingdom of Jesus. There's an axiom in the Catholic Church called grace builds on what is natural. Okay, so you can take a person, for example, who is professionally trained as a teacher, and the Lord can take that person and add to that spiritual gift of teaching. That's a wonderful combination. However, I've been with many people over the years who have a gift of teaching but who aren't trained professionally as teachers. They're able, for example, in a prayer meeting to stand up and share scripture passages and be able to talk about what that means and able to move that group of people to a real commitment to the Lord. It's a gift of teaching. They're not trained teachers, though. So I think it's a natural resources can be the base by which the Lord adds his grace to it, but he's not limited to that by any stretch of the imagination. Okay, so I have an acronym here. I borrowed it from other folks. You'll see what the acronym looks like in a minute. When you look at our, if you look at our profiles as people, how God made us. First of all, He's given us spiritual gifts. These are supernatural gifts He gives us. Again, it's not dependent on your educational background, not dependent on your level of holiness, not dependent on how many years you've been a Catholic or a Christian or whatever. He just gives them naturally. It's important to discern what that is. And there's different ways we can do that, which we'll talk later on down the road. H is our heart disposition. There are certain things in us that really move us in a way that doesn't move other people, you know. And we've all seen it, I'm sure. You come to the red light, and there on the side, you know, is somebody with a big sign saying, you know, help. Okay, I need money. And some people react by rolling up their window and saying, you know, go get a job, you know. Other people say, yes, not only I'll help you with finances, but I'll help you find, I'll help you get back on your feet. Certain things move certain people that don't move other people. It's important to figure out what it is in us that God has put that gets us up in the morning, that really moves our hearts. That's called our heart dispositions. There's some people that have a passion, for example, for to help women that have had abortions. You know, other folks could shrug their shoulders. They're not moved by that. Others are moved like a fire that gets them moving. Okay. So, all right, that's the heart disposition. A is for abilities. These are our natural abilities. We've been given natural abilities. You know, again, some folks, like, for example, have a natural ability. I know a lady at St. Philip Neri, she had a natural ability to weave, like, blankets and shawls and things like that. And as a result of that, that was a basis for starting a prayer shawl ministry at St. Philip Neri. And what happened with that, she gathered about a group of 10 people with her who met regularly to knit prayer shawls. They prayed. They shared their faith. It became like a small group. And they used those shawls to take them to people in hospitals. They gave them to people that were being married. They gave them to baptisms. They brought them to people in the parish with funerals. And they always put on it some kind of scripture passage. And they said, you know, this shawl has been, we prayed for you during this time. And here's a scripture passage we want to give to you in this time of your need. So they came out of her ability, basically. P is personality. We have different personalities. Not one is better or worse than the other, just different. God made us with a diversity. Some are introverts, some are extroverts. And that's a piece of us that is really helpful to know what we're like, because God uses our personality to help understand how He made us and what He wants us to do. And letter E is experiences. This is for natural experiences and spiritual experiences. So there's some folks who have had spiritual experiences that needs to be shared with folks because that can encourage others. And there's people that have natural experiences. For example, again, going back to Philip Neri, I knew a family, two families. One example was a family that couldn't have children. So what they decided to do was go out and adopt. And they went through that whole process, you know. And now what they've done is they help other families in the parish learn how to adopt. So they took their natural experience of not having children, they turned it around, they allowed the Lord to use them to serve others in a situation. I know another lady that has a Down syndrome child, and, you know, she's been through, you know, all the ins and outs of raising a Down syndrome child. Now, she helps others that have Down syndrome child. So using our natural experiences, our experiences, should say, both spiritual and natural, to minister to others. So if you look at that word, S-H-A-P, your shape, God has shaped you in such a way that if you put that together, then it gives you an understanding of how He wants to use you to serve and minister to other folks. Okay. All right. Why don't we stop here, and let me just pray for a minute. We'll open up for some discussion and questions. So Lord, we thank You for, in our day, for pouring out Your Spirit upon Your church. And thank You, Lord, for pouring out gifts of the Spirit to build up Your people, to advance the kingdom of Your Son. So we pray here at St. Patrick's, You would just release the gifts of the Spirit that are present and resident in this community of faith, that You would cause our shape to be discerned in such a way that there will be a fresh new outpouring of these charisms and spiritual gifts to serve the needs of the body of Christ here at St. Patrick's, and to serve the community of faith, and to serve the regent and the larger community, to give witness to your Son. We pray all this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.